hail. Words that have power to set people free to be who you created them to be. And Lord, unless your Spirit makes them live in our hearts today, they'll just be black ink on white paper. And so we ask, Spirit of God, come and minister your truth to your people for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing Peter tells us about this most important personal information about us is that we are a chosen people. Now, if you've ever had the misfortune of not being chosen, then you'll understand the significance of this. If you were ever that child who, when they picked the teams, you weren't picked, or you were picked last, or no, you take them. If you were ever one of those boys who had your eye on that pretty girl and you finally got up enough guts to ask her out and she turned you down, or you were that girl who had eyes for the guy and he never asked you, or maybe you're one of those who has applied for the job and after all the stuff, you've made the short list, but somebody else gets the job. Or you ever feel like you're the one who you're standing in the line of life, but people are bypassing you, they're cutting in, and they're always leaving you in the cold? If you've ever felt unchosen, not selected, if you've ever been rejected for who you are or who you aren't, if you've ever been the one who is not pretty enough, not tall enough, not smart enough, not whatever enough, then you'll appreciate what it means to be chosen. If you're not strong enough, if you're not whatever, again, fill in the blank. If you're one of those who wasn't chosen and feel the pain of it, then this is amazing news. Because out of the billions of galaxies there are in this universe, God decided to choose one we call the Milky Way. And out of the billions of stars swirling in that Milky Way, He chose one of those stars that we call the sun. And out of the 9 planets that swirl around that one sun, he chose not Mars, that has all the attention today, but He chose the blue planet, Earth. And on that little ball hanging in the midst of nothingness, he chose one continent. And out of that one continent, He zeroed in on one country. And out of that one country, He narrowed it down to a region. And then He narrowed it down to a city, town, or a village. And then He narrowed it down to a street, and down to a house, and down to a room. And His eyes fell on you. And He said, I have chosen you. You. I have chosen you. Hello, is that good news or what? Do you realize this morning that people all over this world, in every country, in every religious persuasion, are longing for, praying for, fasting for, begging for, sacrificing for, hoping for, wishing for, that they might have just the smallest glimpse of the hope that maybe someday God might include them? And you and I this morning, regardless of our past, regardless of our success or failure, regardless of the height we've climbed or the depth we've fallen, regardless of all that, we open our report card and we see our names written there in blood, chosen before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. You're chosen. Who are you? You are a chosen people. Never forget that, dear friends. That's who you are. But that's not all. He goes on and he says, you are a royal priesthood. Now, there are many different kinds of priests around the world doing many different kinds of wild things. The priesthood he's referring to here has its roots in the Old Testament. And if you remember, the Old Testament priests were those who made the cut under a highly selective system. And then they had the most prestigious, honorable role in society. They were the ones who were able to sacrifice the animals on the altar so that they would cover the sins of the people and as a sacrifice of praise to God. And they did this daily. But once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the most central place in the tabernacle at the time, in the temple. And that's where God's Shekinah glory, His presence, rested. And because God is holy, 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 He cannot really have fellowship with sin, and that's why all these offerings. And so this high priest would go in once a year and make a sacrifice of blood and thus make sure that all the people were covered. But this was so dangerous, knowing that the holy, holy, holy God was in there, that the high priest had to go through all this ritual cleansing and process of making sure that he had absolutely no sin, no defilement, no dust, no nothing on his person, on him, in him, around him. And then when he was completely holy, 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 so to speak, he would then, with all his sins confessed, of course, he would then go into the Holy of Holies and make the sacrifice. Now, it was so dangerous that they actually tied a rope around the foot of the priest. In case he didn't make it out, they would drag him out. It's the honest truth. Now, do you remember what happened, what the Bible tells us happened on the day that Jesus died? Many things happened. But when he closed his eyes in death and gave up his spirit, the Bible says at that moment, in addition to the earthquake and the sky going dark, the Bible says that the veil of the temple, it was a 6-inch thick layer upon layer upon layer of leather, 6-inch thick, hanging from the top to the bottom, completely covering the entrance, so that, again, holy sin, making that separation. The Bible tells us that when Jesus closed his eyes in death and paid the sacrifice for sin, what happened? That veil was rent, was torn from top to bottom, opening and exposing the holy, holy, holy God to the masses. As a result, all people who put their trust in that finished work of Christ on the cross have instant access into the Holy of Holies. We don't have to go through all kinds of ritual purification. We don't have to do it once a year. We don't have to tie a rope around our leg. We can run right into His presence, jump up on His lap and say, "Hi, Daddy!" That's the intimacy we have with the holy, holy, holy God. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. And because we are holy, because He's declared us holy, we don't need a priest anymore. We actually have become a priesthood. And our priesthood, of course, is not to sacrifice for sin. That is already done. The priesthood, or the priestly function that we now perform, is this continual offering and sacrifice of praise unto God. You are a priesthood. Now, what kind of priesthood are you? A royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. You see, you're not a priesthood for the company. You're not a priesthood for the organization. You're not a priesthood for the club. You're not a priesthood for the stock market. You're not a priesthood for the place of pleasure. You're not even a priesthood for your family. You are a royal priesthood. And what kind of royal? You're not, the royalty we're talking here is not some king or queen, not some self-imposed political despot. We're not talking about some tyrant. We're not even talking about a nice president or prince or queen. Or prime minister, or president. The royalty that we serve is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one and only royalty that we serve. It is unto Him that we give our sacrifices. Every other system that you sacrifice your praise and your attention for is a prostitution of what God designed you for. You're not a priest for those things. You're a priest, a royal priesthood, to offer sacrifice of praise unto God. That's who you are. That's who God made you to be. But that's not all. We are also a nation. Which nation, you wonder? Now, you know our congregation. We've got people from all over. Take a look around you this morning. How many of you are sitting beside somebody from a different country than where you came from? Put your hand up. Isn't this wonderful? Now, this morning, we were drowned out a couple times by the Dutch people when we were introducing Dutch people, and they like to cheer for their own. So I'm going to say, I want you all, when I ask you, I want you to call out the nation that you belong to, okay? When I say that, call out the nation you belong to, and say it loud. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Okay, who do you think won that time? Okay, we won't ask who won. I'll just choose individual people. Got Holland, Canada, Cyprus, Philippines. Okay, we could go on and on and on. Are those the nations you belong to? If you think yes, the answer is no. It's wrong. That's the country you come from, but it's not the nation you belong to. You see, the country you come from has some claims on you. Probably you'll pay taxes in your country. There are probably some obligations there. You probably will end up having your bones buried there. But you know what? That country doesn't own you. You do not belong there. The nation you belong to is the one holy nation. That's where you belong. That's who you are part of. And that nation, although it is in every nation, it transcends all nations. That nation doesn't, you don't have to pay taxes. You don't have to go through all kinds of rituals to keep your membership. That nation, you are part of it, both now and forever, when you are in Christ. That's the nation you belong to. A nation without borders. Now, what kind of nation is it? It's a holy nation. Now, if you're like me, when you look inside and you see some moral stains and some awful habits and a weak will and broken promises, and you know, you do see those things, don't you? Please say yes or I'll feel awkward. We all see those things when we look inside. When we look at that and see the things that are less than holy, it's very natural for us to say, oh my goodness, I'm not good enough for God. I'm not now, and I perhaps never will be holy enough for God. Please note, Peter did not say, you will be a holy nation. He said, you what? You are, present tense, you are a holy nation. We are holy now and only because the blood of Jesus Christ has covered us. When Jesus died for our sins, He paid for that sin. The Bible says God has then placed His robe of righteousness on us, and we stand complete in Him. I stand holy in God's presence today. Not because Dave Petrescu is holy in and of himself, but because Jesus has washed me inside out and He has placed His robe of holiness upon me. And so do you. You are a holy nation. A holy nation. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's who He is. That's what He does. My sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. This is fantastic news, friends. This is who you are. We must never, ever forget it. I want you to say this after me. We are a chosen people.
We are a royal
priesthood. We are a holy nation. Do you believe that? I hope so, because that's God's report card on you. In every culture, everywhere, people long for this kind of news. This is who you are. But the question is, why are you who you are? The Bible says you are a people belonging to God. In every place, people want to belong. They long to belong. And the reason is because God fashioned us to belong. From the moment a baby is born, it longs to be in mommy's arms. The growing child does not like to be excluded from the games and playtime and sports. The teenager will do anything to fit in. That's why clothes and hairstyle and tattoos and body piercings and all these things, they're just another round of the same thing. The person is saying, I'll do anything to belong. I don't want to be left out of the group. I want to be included. Now, adults say the same thing in different ways. We say it with houses and with cars and with vacations and stock portfolios and clothes. Have you ever been to one of these highfalutin black tie events for the rich and famous? It's kind of the same thing as a middle school dance. It reveals the same under-the-skin issues. Next time you go to one of those things, stand back and watch what happens. You can see the exact same maneuverings for connections and impressions. It's amazing. Andy Warhol once said that adulthood is simply being a teenager with money. We haven't really grown beyond our insecurities. We just cover it in different ways. You go to these events and you find that people, we wear stuff we don't like, we drink things we don't like the taste of. We even listen to jokes that aren't even funny and laugh. Why? Because we long to belong. If you doubt that we long to belong, then ask the 20-something or 30-something or 40-something who is scared to death that they may remain single. Ask the spouse who wonders if their partner is coming home tonight. As the child who hears mommy and daddy again say that awful, nasty divorce word. Ask the elderly who sit day after day after day wondering why nobody comes. And nobody calls. And nobody cares. Do you know why you long to belong? Because you were made to belong. But you were not made to belong just to a club, or to a team, or to a class, or to a company, or to a gang, or even to a family. You were designed by God to belong to God. And here's the amazing news. You do. You do belong. You belong to Him. It means nothing. Your clothes don't mean anything. You don't need a special hairstyle. You don't need any of these things that you have to put on in order to belong. You just belong to God because you're His and He loves you. He made you. He designed you. He bought you back from sin when you wandered away from Him. He lives for you. He longs for you. He longs for you to know this morning that you belong to Him and that He loves you dearly. You don't need a special membership card or a business card or a tattoo or a hairstyle or a financial position or a social standing to belong. You don't need a certain skin color or status. If you have come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, then you are part of God's eternal family. You can associate and will associate with many in life, but you belong to only one. You belong to God Himself. We are a people belonging to God. That's whose we are. But why? Why should God pour out such love upon us? Why should He single out you and me from the billions around this earth to bless us? Why are we who we are and whose we are? Many people think that the reason God called us to Himself is so that He could take us to heaven someday. Wrong. If that's the reason God sent Jesus, is so that you and I would go to heaven, that if that was His purpose, the moment you and I prayed our prayer to receive Him, He'd kill us and take us to heaven. Isn't that logical? He left us here. Why did He leave us here when there's so much better beyond here? Why? Because there's a purpose to it all. We are who we are, and we are whose we are, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's why you are who you are, and you are whose you are. You and I are here today because somebody somewhere spilled over the amazing news that I'm sharing with you this morning in one way or another. They let you know that somehow God did something in their life, that God had taken them out of their personal darkness and brought them into His marvelous light. And that story gripped your heart. And maybe you heard a bit more about it and a bit more. And then you heard about how Jesus died on the cross for your sin and that you also could come out of darkness. And at some point in your journey, you said, I want some of that. And you trusted Christ with your life. You are here today because somebody declared the praises of Him who called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. And yet the world is still full of people who don't know that. And the only way they're going to hear is if you and I are what God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do. That we also spill over and share and joyfully tell others what God has done for us. It's the only way they're going to hear. But I have wonderful news. It's happening. It's happening all through this church. Let me just give you a couple illustrations. Some of you know Gerald Brumfield. He's one of our American fellows. He and Annie were saved here, I believe, about 4 years ago. And Gerald's kind of a shy guy. And yet the Lord has built him and equipped him. He got into our cell ministry and has grown immensely. He took the leadership training. He's now leading a cell group. And out of the cell group that Gerald is leading, a number of other cell groups have spawned and are growing. And it's just a multiplying ministry. Here's this shy American man, but who's fell in love with Jesus Christ and loves to spill over. So if you say, I can't do this, I'm shy, talk to Gerald. He's overflowing with the love of Christ. If you were here last week, I wish I would have been here last week. I hear the service was awesome. He had a baptismal service. And one of the gals who gave her testimony last week is the sister of John Minta. John is an ex-professional footballer from Nigeria. John led his sister to Christ in the last couple months when he picked her up at the airport and brought her into town. He was overflowing with joy, overflowing with the love of Christ and what God was doing in his life. John is one of those tall fellows with a huge smile. It's hard to pick out because we've got so many of them like that around here, but John's one of them. You have to meet him. He's one of Ezekiel's assistant staff coaches in the cell ministry, where he also loves to display the love of Christ to other people. You've heard already this morning about George and Despina Katsaros. The pictures are in the bulletin this morning. George and Despina watched Christ in the life of a number of people, Dave Talbot being one of them, at the place George works. And about 2 years ago, they met Christ as part of the ministry of this church. And they plugged into a cell ministry as well and began to grow and get discipled, and they took leadership training. And here they are, 2 years old in their faith, and they're already flying to Cyprus this afternoon to talk to a church about how to help them with cell ministry. This is exciting stuff, folks. This is thrilling. We are becoming what God designed us to be. People who overflow with praise for what God has done. I also heard this morning, as soon as I got here, that, I wish I could have been here a couple of weeks ago when the youth got back from the South Africa trip. So many good things happening there. But apparently, what they did was, at some point, they decided to each person choose two people who do not know the Lord, write them on a list, and begin to pray sincerely and earnestly for those two people. This is a good lesson, by the way, for all of us. Often the young people will lead us. Thank you for this. And they decided to pray for these two people. Well, I discovered that on Monday of this week, maybe, early this week, one of the girls who had taken that seriously was praying earnestly for the two girls she'd put on her list. Monday, she called that person, took them out for coffee, I think, shared the love of Christ with her, and that girl came to Christ. Thursday night, she decided to bring number two to Breakaway. She brought her, heard Amy's testimony, Amy's message, talked after, and number two came to Christ on Thursday. Praise the Lord! Yeah, praise the Lord! From young to old, from every country, it's happening. People are catching the fire when we realize, this is who I am. I'm not what those lies told me all my life. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not what the world says, I'm not what my insides say, I'm not all those things that keep me bound up. I'm a child of God. I'm a chosen person, I'm a royal priesthood, I'm a holy nation. I'm one belonging to God. Why? So that I can declare His praise. He brought me out of my darkness. He brought me into His light. That's why I exist. I will continue to shout that praise. Continue to spill it over. Continue to brag about Him. Nobody can shut me up. Why? Because that's who I am. When that gets into your blood, dear friends, into your DNA, you realize, as I said at the beginning, that what we believe about ourselves, we sooner or later will naturally act out. You think you're ugly? You'll act ugly. You will. I know people who think they're too tall and they're always walking like this. I'm walking like this, friend. What do you believe about yourself? What's on your tape recording, dear friends? Today is the day to re-record. Today is the day to put the right information in your report card. Today is the day to hear what God says about you and let it sink deep into your soul. Because when you discover who you really are, who God has made you to be, it will revolutionize your life. You will naturally live it out because you understand it in the depths of your being. I cannot guarantee this morning that somebody somewhere is not going to steal your financial identity from your credit card or personal information, from your passport or other records. It's possible that someday somebody might fraudulently take everything away from you, everything you've ever worked for. Your life circumstances may change so rapidly as to knock you on your face and wonder what in the world is happening. The world is going to continue to tell you you're just a number. You're just a speck in a cosmic nothingness. You're just a freak biological accident. The world will continue to proclaim that you are what you eat, you are what you buy, you are what you own. The world will continue to declare your importance is based upon status and success and salary and sex appeal and style. The world says you are who they say you are or who you say you are. But God says, you are. Who are you? You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's who you are. And don't ever forget it. If you are who we've described this morning, then I know what's going on in your soul right now. Deep inside your spirit is a desire to become in reality what God has declared you to be. Inside you is a desire that says, oh God, could I be that? Oh God, could I live that way? Oh God, could you do a similar thing in me? That's coming up in your spirit. And the answer is yes. As you increasingly yield your life to the Lord for what He's called you to be and do, the Spirit of God will come and fill you and enable you to do and be just that. So follow that desire. Let it come to the surface this morning and express it to the Lord. Our closing hymn is a perfect way to express that to Him. Just before we sing it, there may be some here this morning who this information is perhaps new to you, and you wonder, I don't think I'm one of those people. But in your heart, there may be a desire to be one of those people, to be included in the chosen, to be included in the priesthood, to be included in the nation, to be included in the belonging to God. This morning, if you want to come out of your darkness, you can. You have an opportunity to come and invite Christ into your heart and let Him be the Lord of your life. And He will do in your heart what we've been describing this morning to others. After every service, we have people who are willing to talk with you or pray with you. Please feel free to come to the front, and they'd be glad to do that. Let's close our time with this song now. This song is really a prayer. It's a prayer put to music. And it's a wonderful way to express to the Lord the desires that are bubbling in our soul.